Good morning. Thank you, Tom. I never know what Tom's going to say when he's chairing about me, so I'm always a little bit nervous. I guess I've been here long enough that Tom has run out of things to say about me now, and so perhaps I don't need to be as nervous when Tom chairs anymore, but thank you, Tom. Let's pray together. Lord, we worship you. In spite of all that's going on in our lives, in spite of all that's going on in the world right now, we worship you because you alone are worthy of worship. You never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, in spite of what goes on around us, we worship you. And so even though we cannot gather together physically here, we gather together online to worship you. So, Lord, as we gather online, may your Spirit be with us. May your Spirit speak to us. May your Spirit comfort us. May your Spirit lead us. And Lord, may your Spirit give me the words today to speak, that they would not be my words, but they would be your words. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure this doesn't apply to any of us, right? But some people, even Christians, and sometimes especially Christians, have been known to say stupid things to those who are grieving. They mean well, but they just don't know what to do or what to say sometimes. And so they end up saying things that end up being quite hurtful. They end up saying things like, well, at least they're in heaven now to someone who's lost a loved one. Or they say something like, well, I'm sure God will bring someone better into your life after a breakup or loss of a close friend. Christians are notorious for spewing Christian platitudes for friends who are suffering, for platitudes that tend to jump over the pain and the grief, platitudes that kind of gloss over what's going on right now and look to a better future. Paul has a little bit different approach. He doesn't resort to platitudes. Instead, he takes a slightly harder route. In fact, he says in verse 17, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul doesn't soften the blow. Paul hits quite hard and to the point, actually. If we are children of God, if we are God's children, if we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, then of course we better expect to share in his sufferings as well. Especially if we are going to think that we are going to share in God's glory, then we better expect to share in Christ's sufferings now, here on earth. If we expect to get to heaven, if we expect to take part, to taste the glory of the risen Lord, then we need to expect to share in the suffering of the crucified Lord as well. But, and this is a big but, Paul continues in verse 18, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. See, Paul doesn't just gloss over and say, but it's okay, we're going to get to heaven. He says, yes, we're going to get to heaven, but you should expect that you're going to have to suffer now. You are going to suffer now. If you follow Jesus, if you think you are co-heirs with Christ, then expect that you will suffer. Paul knows that our present suffering is nothing compared to the glory yet to come. But at the same time, Paul doesn't just glaze over the suffering now just to say, just wait until the glory that is to come. Paul doesn't try to get us past our pain. He doesn't try to tell us that we should pray for an easier life or for less persecution. He doesn't encourage us to try to get this world to like us so that things will be easier. In fact, he's saying, if we follow Jesus, we are going to suffer. If we think we are co-heirs with Christ, we are going to have hard times, hardships. That's just a reality. That's a fact. Yet those hardships are nothing compared to the glory that is to come. So instead of complaining about the suffering now, instead of praying and wishing for the suffering to end, Paul's basically telling us, suck it up, buttercup. Life is going to be tough. If you follow Jesus, life is going to be tough. We are going to suffer. We are going to go through hardships. That's the reality. But the other part of that reality is that the glory that is yet to come is that much better. So while we need to put up with the hardships and the suffering now, in the midst of that, Paul also says, we're not alone in this. We're not alone in the hardships and the sufferings we're about to endure. Remember, Christ already went through this. We are joining in and sharing in the suffering that Christ has already gone through. But Paul continues to say that we're not alone in the suffering. In fact, all of creation is suffering. Not because of anything creation did. That's what verse 20 says. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Creation is suffering. All those around us are suffering. We are not alone in our suffering. We like to think we're alone in our suffering, but all of creation is suffering because of sin. Paul's talking about creation suffering not to try to make us feel better, but to help us put things into perspective. He says in verse 22, we know the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now, I don't know what the pain of childbirth is like. I've been told that the passing of a kidney stone is similar, that the pain of a passing of a kidney stone is like similar to the pain of giving birth to a child. But Kate insists that the pain of childbirth is much worse. Considering I've never given birth, even though she's never passed a kidney stone, I'm smart enough to know I better not argue with her on this. So I will concede. Okay, pains of childbirth must be really bad. So my understanding is that giving birth is quite painful. And it's not always short either. I've heard stories of women being in labor for 4 days. Yet for all the pain and suffering that the mother goes through during childbirth, the joy they experience on the other side of it makes the pain pale in comparison. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that all of creation is suffering the pains of childbirth. Paul is saying all of creation is suffering. You're suffering, I'm suffering, we are all suffering. Everything that God created is suffering because of sin. Yet we know on the other side of this suffering, the joy that is to come is so much greater than the pain that we are going through right now. The joy that is to come is so much greater than the pain that we will ever experience in this life. Paul is saying, look ahead, but also at the same time, realize you're not alone in this. You're not alone in your struggles. You're not alone in your pain. As much as we would like to think that we are alone in our struggles and pain, we're not. Even creation is groaning because things are not the way that they're supposed to be. I think we like to think we're alone in our pain and suffering because I think that's our egocentric selves. Who? No one else could bear this kind of pain. No one else could go through this kind of suffering. So I must be alone in my suffering. But Paul says we're not alone. We're not alone. He says in verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the resurrection, the redemption of our bodies. Paul is making the point that we too, like the rest of creation, groan inwardly. We groan inwardly now as we eagerly await the redemption of our bodies. We groan now because of the suffering and pain we have to endure. But all of that pain, all of that suffering, the hardship, will pale in comparison to the joy that is to come. Whatever you're going through, whatever you are struggling with or suffering through right now, you're not alone. Whatever pain or hardship or struggle, whatever it is, you're not alone. I know that Satan tries to trick us into thinking that we are alone, that no one would possibly care, that no one could possibly understand what we're going through, that we are completely alone in whatever it is we're struggling with, we're wrestling with, we're suffering through. But Paul says you're not alone. Whatever it is you're going through, someone else has gone through it before you. Whether it's the loss of a loved one, loss of a job or a dream, broken relationships, isolation, someone has gone through it before. Whether you're stuck in some sin that you think no one would understand, trust me, someone has been there before you. Even with the pandemic, people say this is a time like no other. And yes, there are differences, but the world has been through pandemics already. Sure, the most recent one was 100 years ago, but nonetheless, people have been through this already. I've seen pictures of people from 100 years ago wearing masks. And then I've heard stories of people from 100 years ago complaining about how those masks don't do anything, and they're more harmful to the person wearing them than they are beneficial. Sounds a lot like what's going on today. We're not alone. Others have been through this. Others are going through this right now. You are not alone. Don't believe Satan's lies that no one cares, that no one will understand, because there are people who have been through, who have come through on the other side, who are going through it at the same time as you. You don't have to hunker down and isolate yourself from the world. Yes, physically isolate, but you don't have to socially isolate yourselves from the world because you think that nobody would understand what you are going through, what you're struggling with, what you're suffering through. So I want to challenge you. If you are at a place where you are struggling and feeling like you are alone and that no one cares and no one would want to be bothered by you, I want to challenge you. Reach out to someone. Reach out to me. Reach out to one of the other pastors. Reach out to one of the brothers or sisters in the church. Reach out to someone and say, hey, I just need someone to talk to. I need someone who will listen to me. Obviously, you need to be smart about who you open up to. Don't just stop somebody on the side of the road, the first person you see, and say, hey, these are the things that are going on in my life. What about you? But call up me or someone else, one of the brothers and sisters from church, and say, hey, I really need someone that I can talk to right now. But maybe you're sitting there going, but Sam, things are pretty good right now. I actually kind of like this pandemic. I don't have to be bothered with seeing all these people, and things are actually pretty good, and I'm not really struggling or having a hard time. If you're like that, then I have a different challenge for you. I hope that not only will those who are struggling reach out for help, but I hope that those of you who are saying that things are pretty good, or those of you who see others struggling or think that someone might be struggling, would reach out to them and offer your help to them. That you would reach out to them and not leave them alone during difficult times. It doesn't have to be an elaborate, hey, let's go, I'm having like a big dinner at my place, why don't you come over? It doesn't have to be anything elaborate like that. In fact, with the current restrictions, you're not supposed to do that. It can be something as simple as a phone call or a text message saying, hey, I was just thinking about you. How are things going? Hey, you want to talk? You'd be surprised at how God can use something as small as a phone call or a text message to reach someone. It could be something so small that you don't remember doing it or saying it, but to the person receiving it, it can mean so much to them. I remember after my mom died, there were three friends who would periodically call me and just invite me out to lunch. They'd invite me out to lunch and get there, and I wouldn't say much, and they wouldn't say much. Sometimes they'd ask if I needed anything, but they would just call me, check in on me, and invite me out. And it was during that time I realized, these are my real friends. These are the three guys that I want as my groomsmen standing beside me in my wedding. Because they were the ones, I still to this day, I don't think they realized what impact they had. But they were the ones who were there for me. I don't think they realized that their simple, short little calls, hey, you want to meet up? Hey, you want to go for lunch? I don't think they realized how much that meant for me. But I will never forget those gestures that they made. You never know. You think something so small as a text message won't do much good. Something so small as a phone call won't mean much. But you never know how God can use those things to make a long and lasting impact on someone else. Maybe we need to work a little harder to make sure we don't leave others alone instead of just complaining about being alone ourselves. But I think the other part of us not being alone, the bigger part, the more important part of what Paul says in this passage comes in the second half. Not only are we not alone in that all creation suffers with us, but we're not alone in that Jesus has sent his Spirit to be with us as well. Paul says in verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. See, when Jesus returned to the Father, he didn't just up and leave us alone to suffer. He knew that we would suffer if we're going to follow him, but that's why he didn't leave us alone to suffer. He left the Holy Spirit with us to help us. That's why Paul says, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The Holy Spirit is with us. And in those moments when we are weakest, the Spirit helps us by interceding for us through wordless groans because we're not alone. As much as we think that we are, as much as we like to think we're alone in what's going on in our lives, we're not. The Holy Spirit is with us. And when we need the Spirit, when we really realize how much we need the Spirit in our weakness, the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. Not only are we not alone because creation groans with us, but we're not alone because the Holy Spirit groans for us. And there's something about the Holy Spirit groaning for us. Paul says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I think a lot of the times we don't see the Spirit at work in our lives because we try to do everything on our own. We try to do everything through our strength. We volunteer to serve at church in positions where we think we can do the job. We volunteer in positions that we're confident that we can succeed in. Very rarely do we step out in faith and step into a position to serve even when we don't think we can do it. I'm not saying I'm going to join the praise team tomorrow. Don't worry. I did that before and I know what happened. And if you want to hear a funny story, you can come ask me about it sometime later and I'll tell you. But if you feel that God is leading you to do something out of your comfort zone, something that even though you're not sure you're the best suited for, if you feel like God is putting that on your heart and pushing you in that direction, I want to challenge you, step out and take a leap of faith. Step out in weakness and turn to God and see if God doesn't use that weakness for his glory. Because Paul tells us the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You see, when we think we're strong, we think that we don't need God. When we think that we can do it on our own, we rely on ourselves. We don't rely on God. We don't rely on anyone else. But when we realize how weak we really are, that's when we realize how much we need God. That's when we realize we can't do it on our own. And that's usually when we turn to God for help. When we realize how weak we really are. When we realize we can't do this and we're not strong enough. Paul learned this the hard way. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We don't know what that thorn was, but there's speculation among scholars that it was a physical ailment. Some think it was spiritual, that Paul was hindered by his past, but others think it was a physical ailment. We don't know. Remember, Paul was the guy who was going around killing Christians, so it could be his past coming back to haunt him. It could be something physical. Nobody is certain. What we do know is that the thorn was a real problem for Paul, so much so that he prayed 3 times to have the thorn removed. But when God answered Paul, it wasn't the answer that Paul expected. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul learned that Christ shone through him, through his weaknesses. Paul learned that through Paul's strength, Paul shone through. But through his weaknesses, Christ shone through. If Paul only did what Paul was good at, people would praise Paul because he'd be like, wow, good job, Paul. Good on you. Wow, you're so impressive. But by Paul stretching himself and letting Christ deal with his weakness, Christ shone through those weaknesses, and Jesus is praised. If we do everything out of our strength, then people will praise us. Wow, Sam, good job. Wow, Sam, you're talented. Nobody really says that when it comes to music or anything like that. But Sam, good job. But when we're forced to turn to Jesus in weakness, that's when the Spirit works in us. That's when the Spirit works through us. And that's when people start to praise Jesus because they say, wow, that's got to be God at work. That's got to be the Spirit at work because, Sam, that guy's scared of speaking in front of people. How is it that Sam can come up and speak in front of people? That's got to be God at work. If you guys knew me 20 years ago, you would know I hated public speaking. I still don't like public speaking. But by the grace of God, I can do this. When we let God shine through our weaknesses, God shines through. But when we insist on working and dealing out of our strengths, who do you think people see? I think this is part of the reason we endure hardships and pain. Because it's in suffering that we learn that our strength isn't enough. That we learn that we can't make it on our own. Without hardship and suffering, I think it's way too easy for us to think, yeah, I'm pretty good. That's why everything's so easy. That's why my life is so good, because I'm pretty good. But when the hardships and trials hit, I think that's when we realize, and hopefully we start to accept, that wait a minute, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. You know what? I can't do this on my own. I really need Jesus, not just to get me to heaven, but to help me remain strong during these difficult times here on earth. I think it's through hardships that we realize that's when we can see the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, because we realize how weak we really are. Before this pandemic, so much of the Western world was about getting rich and accumulating things. But with the pandemic, I think people have started to take a closer look at their lives and are figuring out that money isn't everything. Money without health doesn't amount to much. And I think people are realizing that maybe we need to rethink what we think is important in this life. Realizing just how powerless we really are. And I think that's why during this pandemic, so many people are turning to faith. They're looking for something or someone to believe in. Because if a little virus can shut things down and kill us, what hope do we have on our own? And that's where Paul says, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. And when we don't know what to do or even how to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us in wordless groans. The Spirit prays for us. Don't you want the Spirit praying for you? A lot of people think that because I'm a pastor, my prayers have more meaning or more power or more sway with God. I tend to disagree on that one. But I think we can all agree that the Holy Spirit's prayers have more sway with the Heavenly Father than my prayers or your prayers or anyone else's prayers for that matter. See, hardships and trials aren't times for us to complain or dig in or try harder. I think those hardships and trials are a reminder to us that we can't do this on our own. I think they're a reminder to us of just how weak we are and that we need to turn in our weakness to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will pray in wordless groans, intercede on our behalf in wordless groans. I think that hardships are a reminder that as good as brothers and sisters in Christ are, Ultimately, we need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to get us through the present trials so that we can enjoy the future glory. As I was preparing the sermon, there was one image that I couldn't get out of my head all week. The image was of a blacksmith heating up a piece of metal and hammering it and shaping it into something useful. And the more I thought about it, the more I think that we're that piece of metal. And because we're stubborn and stiff, we need a lot of heat to soften us up. And after we get softened up a bit, because we're so stubborn and stiff, we still need a hammer striking us in the right spot at the right time while we're softened up to shape us into something better than we were before, to shape us into something useful. And as much as we don't like the fire and as much as we don't like getting hit with the hammer, I think those things are crucial in shaping us into who Christ wants us to be more like Him. But more importantly, as we're getting heated, as we're being hammered by life, I think we need to remember that God is a heavenly blacksmith that hasn't left us, but rather has been holding us, letting us get struck and shaped and molded to be a better version of us than we were before. See, God hasn't left us in the middle of our hardships. God hasn't left us in the middle of this pandemic as we turn back into more and more restrictions. God hasn't left us alone, but rather God is the one who's holding on to us, turning us around at the right time to the right location so that when we get hit by this life, we get hit in a way that, as painful as it is, as much as it hurts, it will ultimately make us stronger and shape us into what God wants us to be so that we can be used by Him better. And I think we have to trust that God is at work. Even when things look horrible, even when we're getting hammered by life, we're thrown into the fires of life, I think we need to remember that God is at work and that we're not alone. Not only did God come, God in the flesh, or God with us come in the flesh, but when Jesus left, He left the Holy Spirit with us to intercede for us. So if you're struggling, and I think most of us are struggling during this crazy time, if you're struggling and don't know what to do, maybe it's time to accept that we can't get through this on our own. Maybe it's time to accept that we need help, that we're not strong enough for this, that we really do need Jesus. That it's time to let the Spirit groan, to intercede for us in wordless groans, because we don't know how to pray, because we don't know what to do, because we realize just how weak we are. If you're struggling, instead of trying harder, instead of pulling up your boots and digging deeper, maybe it's time to fall on our knees and start praying. I think this is a time for all of us to fall on our knees and start praying a little bit more, because we're not alone. The Spirit is with us. God with us is with us. Jesus is with us. And not only that, we have our brothers and sisters who are all with us together. You're not alone. Whatever you're going through, you're not alone. Reach out. Reach out to a brother or sister, but more importantly, reach out to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Let's pray. Lord, these are crazy times. And sometimes I know we try to think we can do it on our own. I know sometimes we think we're strong enough, we can do this. But ultimately, Lord, we're not. We can't do anything without You. So Lord, would You remind us that You are with us every step of the way? Would You remind us that You've never left us? And as Paul said, that Your Holy Spirit intercedes for us in wordless groans. So Lord, as our hearts are aching, as our hearts are troubled, as we're troubled, would You remind us that You are with us every step of the way, that You have never left us, that You will not forsake us, that we just need to turn to You in our weakness. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.